will hunger and thirst for more of you. Because you made an invitation for those who are hungry and thirsty and to come to you. And you will satisfy. So Lord, this morning I pray that you will satisfy us with more of you. That's all we ask for, Lord. Just more of you. And so Holy Spirit, I pray this morning as we sit under your word that it will bring forth life. Lord, we present our hearts to you. Plow deep in it. That your word may find root and grow from it. We ask you this, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning. We had a little bit of break. Visited my mom in PE. And also had a great time of rest, and I trust some of you will also have that opportunity. Who are here for the very first time? Anybody here for the very first time? Welcome. If we didn't give them a hand, just give them one again. On that note, is there anybody that did not receive a cup? If you haven't received a cup for communion, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will come.
But welcome. And then, please, if you still need a cup, put up your hand. The ushers will quickly come and give you a cup for communion.
Yes, so just keep your hands raised if you're still waiting for a cup. And then the next step is to join a small group. We've got small groups all over Hermanus. It's a place where you can feel at home and loved. There's prayer every Thursday at 9 o'clock and Sunday at 8 o'clock. In the morning, and then the most important announcement is Encounter 2. It's part of our spiritual growth series, and it's very much focused on our place within the body of Christ. So in church, but especially finding our place and how God has created us and how he wants us to function as part of the body. So we'd love to invite you to Encounter 2. It's on Saturday the 30th of July. It's just in the morning from 8:30 till 12. But please let us know if you're coming just for catering purposes. And then we also have a baptism again today at the Old Harbor at 12 o'clock. So please, you're more than welcome to join us.
I'll still sing. Is that it?
Okay, great. So I've been sharing a couple of weeks around this topic of following Jesus and what does it mean to follow and live for Jesus? What does it mean to live for God? And we've been looking at 1 Peter and just this final letter of the Apostle Peter and his urgency to convey a final message to the church. And we've been looking at, especially chapter 1, what is this urgency that Peter writes with? What are these things that he wants to remind us and remain in us even after his departure? And so we've been looking at what does it mean to add to our faith to grow spiritually? And especially, what does it mean and look like to be a disciple of Jesus as opposed to a nominal Christian? And so I want us just to recap by reading, the second letter of Peter, 2 Peter from verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, just to recap where we were last. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. And to brotherly love, love. For he who lacks these things... For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we briefly looked at these things that Peter urges us in our growth to maturity, what we need to add to our faith. What are the things that we need to add to what we believe concerning Jesus and our Savior? How does spiritual growth look like practically? What are the things that we need to do? So we looked at all these things just very briefly, and at virtue, at knowledge, at self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love. And this morning I want to pause on this final expression, the ultimate expression of following God is love. And I want us to look at this. Why does spiritual growth not end with godliness, but rather with love? Because love is an expression of godliness. But what is this love, and why is it so defining as being a Christian? The Greek word used for love, that final expression, we're well familiar with this if you've been in church for a number of years. It's the word in Greek, agape. What is interesting, this passage uses two Greek words for love. It first uses the word phileo, which is brotherly kindness or brotherly love. In Greek, there are four main words used for God. There's actually more than four. There's actually seven. But mainly, there are four Greek words that is used to describe love. In English, we only have one word, love. And because we only have one word, there are different connections and connotations to this concept of love. But in Greek, it actually defines what kind of love the writer is speaking on by these seven words. But I'm just going to focus on the four main ones to help us understand what Peter is saying, what the Word of God is teaching us when it comes to adding to brotherly love, love. To add to phileo, agape. And so I want us just to look at it for a moment. In Greek, the four basic terms for love, first of all, is eros. Eros speaks of a sensual, sexual love between two people. It is that chemistry that draws people that are fixated with one another. That's an eros love, a sexual attraction to one another. And the focus there is a preoccupation with each other, with the other. That's eros. Then you also find storge. Now, storge is the term used for an instinctual love of parents towards children. It's something from our instinct that almost drives us to love. And that's the love, the bond that you have between parents and children, storge. And then you get phileo. Phileo is a very powerful description of a deep emotional bond and love for friends, for a friend. And in the ancient Greeks, they saw this as an ultimate fulfillment of love, where you love a friend, and that love is derived from a common interest. Because you have the same interests. It's not that you do not care for one another. Of course you care for one another, but the attraction in friendship is a commonality, a common interest. We are similar, or we like the same things, and therefore we are friends. And our love for one another grow from this place of having similar interests. Now, this word phileo, this friendship love, brotherly love, is what Peter is writing about, that he says that you need to add to your godliness, phileo, brotherly love for one another. Because we have a lot in common as Christians. We actually have a lot in common. We are saved by the same grace. We have the same Savior. We have the same Lord. We have the same Father. We are sealed with the same Spirit. We are pursuing the same kingdom. We believe the same word. And we are part of the same church. So the Word of God encourages us that we should filial one another because of this great commonality that we have. And so we build a love for one another around our common reality, our pursuit for God. But what is so interesting is that the Word of God says that we not only need to grow in godliness, but we need to grow in this kind of love towards one another. And then it says, but you need to add to this love for one another. You need to add to this agape. And I want us to look at that. What does it mean? You know, we grow in godliness through our application and understanding and yielding to the Holy Spirit. And we spoke about it last time. And then we also need to grow in filio, brotherly kindness. And we grow in that by doing things together. Coming together on a Sunday to worship together is a powerful expression of filio. It creates the environment where we grow in love for one another. One of the most powerful things of worship, and I don't want to get too distracted about this, but it's unity. It's unity. We are singing the same thing in melody. It's unity. It's very powerful. Worship is very powerful because we are saying the same thing in unity with one another. Song is a powerful expression of perfect unity. Have you ever sang with somebody that sings a different song? It just, what's going on here? What are you doing? We're all singing this song. Coming together on Sunday, doing the same thing, believing the same things, is very powerful for developing this. Fellowshipping together, we grow in this filio. When we are part of a small group, where we get to know one another, this is where we grow in filio. As a matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9 says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia. So, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And what is so powerful about this Christian love for one another, this brotherly love, filio, it is not just between me and another person in my congregation. It extends to Christians beyond the congregation. And Paul writes to the church and says, not just in your town, but in your whole area. You are growing in this love for one another. And I guess it's most powerfully experienced when you come to a foreign country and you meet other Christians. There's just a bond there that is, that's filio. And God encourages us to grow in that. It starts in the local church, it extends beyond it. But what really stood out for me is that God says that we need to add to this kind of love, agape. Agape love is a different kind of love to all the others. It is unconcerned with self and concerned with the greatest good for the other. Agape is different in that it is not born out of emotions or feelings or common interests or attraction, but an act of the will. It is a choice. The best way to describe agape is actually not unconditional. The best way to describe agape is self-giving, sacrificial. Agape in Greek is defined actually as charity. But not charity as we know by giving money to a beggar. It is charity with love. I don't know if you've ever been in a parents' meeting or school meeting where the school wants to raise funds. Who of you have been in meetings like that? Yeah, we need to raise funds and we need somebody to stand at the coffee shop for 2 hours in winter. Anybody? You know, when we sometimes give of ourselves, we do it out of obligation. That's not agape. Agape would be, yes, I love this cause. I love what this stands for, and I will gladly do 4 hours. That's the difference. I recently started coaching goalkeepers. I used to be one, and so I'm helping the primary school, training the young goalkeepers. And I realized once the one coach came to me and she said she will pay me R1,000 a term. And I said, no, please, I don't want money. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because I love the game. I love developing children. I love doing it. So this kind of agape is the understanding of the Greek of charity. It's not just charity the way we understand charity. It is a love for something that willingly gives of oneself, even at the expense of yourself. Agape requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Agape is almost always used to describe the way God loves us. He loves us joyfully giving towards us, not out of obligation. You know that scripture that says God loves a cheerful giver? Because that's who God is. It describes the love that is of God, whose very nature is agape, love. It's his very nature. We read in 1 John, it says, beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love, agape. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live for him. This is love. This is agape. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That word love in that whole passage is agape. God loves because that is his nature and the expression of his being. He loves the unlovable, the unlovely, not because we deserve it or we have anything special or excellence in us, but because it's his very nature to love. God chooses to love us. That's agape, joyfully. This type of love is not an over-sentimental feeling that some people describe love to be. No, it's an act of the will from his very nature. This is who I am. I love. He chooses to love us despite our sinfulness at the cost of himself. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2 says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Agape love is not based on a feeling. Rather, it is determined by an act of the will, a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above your own. A love that gives of oneself for the benefit of the other, even at our own expense. Jesus, when he was asked about the great commandment, and he said, you must love God and you must love your neighbor. They probed Jesus concerning this love and to whom we should love. And then he gave the parable of the great, of the good Samaritan. And the context is so powerful because the Jews and the Samaritan hated each other. They had no dealings with one another. They despised one another. And so Jesus explains what this love is. It is giving of yourself at the cost of yourself, even to those who do not like you, without expecting anything in return. The good Samaritan. We know the parable. A love that requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Agape love is not void of emotion, but it is not primarily motivated by it. It is primarily motivated by a choice from a place of character. A well-known scripture that uses both these words of love, phileo and agape, in the same context. It's so powerful. It's when Jesus restored Peter. We know it. We know this account, and I'm sure you know the difference and the use of words there, but I want us to read that quickly together. It says that so when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these? And he said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I follow you. And he said to him, then feed my lambs. And then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I follow you. And then Jesus said, tend to my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you follow me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you follow me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I follow you. Then Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, signifying, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So much one, and I'm sure you've heard many sermons around this. Why was Peter hesitant to commit to agape when Jesus asked him? I think the context probably speaks very loudly. Jesus just sacrificed himself for all of humanity, including Peter. He just died on the cross. He just sacrificed himself. And Peter just recently denied Jesus to save himself. And so when Jesus asked him, do you love me even at the cost of yourself? Peter couldn't say that. Perhaps that's why Peter was hesitant, because he just failed in his commitment to love Christ at the cost of himself, but rather denying him publicly. You see, agape love does not come naturally to us. Because in our fallen nature, we are incapable of producing such love consistently. If we are to love as God loves, that agape love, it can only come from the source of that love, which is God. God Himself. You know, the same Peter who could not commit to agape love at the end of his life so powerfully urges us that we need to add to phileo, agape. Add to it. Add to it this covenant commitment to give at the cost of yourself for the other. What a radical change that took place in Peter's heart. So how do we grow from a brotherly love to a agape love? You cannot truly understand agape through the Greek definition. You cannot truly find understanding of it through a dictionary. It finds definition in the Word of God. It finds definition in Jesus Himself, the way He loved. It finds definition in knowing Him personally. It's the only way to have a relationship with Him. Because of God's love towards us, God poured His love within us through the Holy Spirit that enables us to be able to love the way He loves. But without Him, we will never consistently be able to do so. And so, growing in our relationship with God, growing in maturity, growing in godliness, always necessitates, requires us drawing closer to God. Christianity is powerful in that it cannot grow without a relationship with God Himself. Otherwise, we become intellectual. We can grow intellectually in our understanding of the facts, but we cannot grow spiritually without growing closer to the person. Because it's only the person that can change us, not the facts. But there's a link between the two, very powerfully. Because God loves us, He pours His love into us, and we are able to love one another. Romans 5 says the following: God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which He has given us. It is the divine nature. Remember, we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, that we can be partakers of the divine nature through the Holy Spirit that was poured in us. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is the first one. Love. You know which Greek word? Agape. It is from our relationship and empowerment of the Spirit of God, the divine nature in us, that we are able to love the way God loves. We have been given the ability to love like God. 1 John 3 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So first we need to grow in philo towards one another. We need to grow in brotherly love towards one another. And then we need to add to that love, this sacrificial love for one another. We grow in brotherly love because we have a lot in common. And then we need to add to that love, a deeper love of commitment towards one another. Not merely out of what we have in common, but because that is the way God loves us. And because God commands us to love the same way as we are loved by Him. He commands us to do so. I mean, Jesus said in John 13, He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you must agape one another the way I agape you. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples if you have agape for one another. Spiritual growth always requires us to draw closer to God. We draw closer to Him through knowing Him intellectually, but also personally. And what is so powerful throughout Scripture, God reveals that love for Him, if we say we love Him, love for Him is expressed through obeying Him. Because what he asks of us, what He commands of us, is who He is. God commands us to draw closer to Him, to become like Him, to be transformed into the image and likeness of Him, who created us in His image and likeness, that was distorted through sin, so that we can be born again, to become a new creation, to be filled with the Spirit of God, so that we can be transformed to be like God in character and nature. And so He calls us, He commands us to love. And our love for Him is expressed in obedience. From a place of free will. Because agape is a choice. It's not an emotion, primarily. It is rooted, born in a choice to love. Not a feeling to love, a choice to love. That's why Jesus said in John 15, verse 9, He says, as the Father, and all these words, love, I'm not going to read in Greek, is agape, in case you wonder. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask my Father in my name, He may give you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. Agape love does not come naturally to us. But it does come naturally to God. And as we draw closer to Him, He fills us with it. As we draw closer to Him and experiencing His love, we're able to begin to understand what agape means. And through yielding to His Holy Spirit, He changes and enables us to love more and more like Him. Only through God can we be changed to love like this, as we submit to Him. And so Peter encourages us, reminds us, strongly urges us to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, love for one another. And to love for one another, agape. My time is running out, but God even says we must love our enemies. Guess what word that is? Agape. You see, this is a powerful love that comes from a character, not from an emotion. God doesn't say you must be over-sentimental about your enemies. Now, he says, if they are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. Care for them. Meet their needs. Give from yourself at the cost of yourself, expecting nothing in return. Because then you will be like me, who makes the sun shine on the righteous and the evil. And I will reward you. I don't have time to go there. I need to grow in agape love. We all need to. That's why Peter urges us to do so. It only happens when we realize our lack of it and our desire for it. And the motivation is not an emotional need to love like that. It's an emotional need to be more like God, to be closer to God, to know Him more, and to become like Him. That drives us to this point where we ask Him. Jesus said, and He will give you what you ask. So this morning, as the band comes up, I believe the Holy Spirit is pressing on us this question. In one sense, urging us to add to our godliness brotherly love. And to add to brotherly love a divine love. The question is, are we willing to diligently add to our faith and our virtue and our knowledge, our self-control, our perseverance, our godliness? Are we willing? Are we willing to add diligently to it love for one another? Practically. Love manifests through deeds. And I really sense the Holy Spirit is wooing us, encouraging us to come to Him, asking, seeking, desiring to love. And He will enable us to. So let's close our eyes.